This is Jen, and you're listening to Paradox, a Mage the Ascension podcast. These bite-sized episodes are designed to get you up to speed and comfortable with Mage the Ascension rules and concepts. Reread the books so you don't have to, though we do recommend it. Without further ado, welcome to Paradox. Hello, and welcome back for this very special episode of Paradox. Anyone who listened to my very short apology episode or who watched Dork Tales will know that I was struck by some more Paradox over the last 2 months. And as part of that apology, since I'll be releasing the official episode 22 of Paradox at the beginning of May, I'm putting forward the other two seekings I've run for my Technocracy Zero-Sum game. This week will be Nolan's Seeking, starring Kelly, which took place between episodes 6 and 7, and it premiered on Patreon last summer and I believe have now since been released to YouTube on the Dork Tales channel. If you didn't listen to episode 4.5 and you're unfamiliar with Mage, Seekings are basically little miniature quests that your avatar, your magical soul, puts you through in order to basically level up, or in other words, gain a point of Arete. As a storyteller, you don't have to run them. You can just have players spend XP and gain Arete, but I find them an extremely important and enjoyable part of the Mage experience, particularly as you learn who your character is and develop them as a character through roleplaying. The choices that they make in these Seekings can often reveal things you didn't even know. However, that's for mages. Technocrats, being more scientific and logic-based, don't really do Seekings. They have mediations or epiphanies instead. Basically, they're supposed to be more like flashes of genius instead of fully mystical vision quests. Of course, due to my own habits, I will likely always refer to them as Seekings, regardless of the affiliation of the character, as I mentioned before. Much like for Tegan Seeking, I took some particular liberties with Nolan Seeking, again, mostly because of the nature of the plot of this particular chronicle, and also it's the format I'm more familiar with. If you haven't watched episode 7 of Zero Sum, be warned for some potential spoilers. But also, please enjoy this special bonus episode of Paradox, and we'll see you next time. Welcome to a special audio-only edition of Technocracy Zero Sum, as we take Nolan through his seeking, or mediation, or whatever the Technocracy actually call it, because I've read several names about what it's actually called. But effectively, it's a seeking.
It's my trip.
Yeah, your trip. Which makes sense for Nolan. I'm very excited to do this. Do you have any questions, comments, concerns before we get started?
As always, many concerns.
Yes.
But no, I think this is good. I rarely get to go through seeking, so it's a little Twitter-pating to be going into this and being like, okay, I guess this is something I'm doing. It's weird not to be on the other side for a change. And to not be wearing my wig.
Have you actually had someone run a seeking for you?
Yeah, Roman ran one for me way back when.
Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And that might be it, actually. that might be it.
Cool.
I feel like there was one other one. But I'm probably... Oh, that's not true. My first game ever, I had some seekings. My first game way back, so like 20 years ago. So it's been a while.
Been a while.
You're my first seeking in a decade, probably.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Oh, it's 2023. Definitely in a decade.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope that this is as fun for you as it was for me creating it.
Oh, boy. I've been warned that you got some inspiration from something. So.
Oh, man. Yes, I did not do as Robin, Traz, and Amy were saying I should do and completely just rip off a particular movie, but it was giving me real Nolan vibes.
Fair. I look forward to, and of course, that was Dirty Dancing.
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm going to have the time of my life.
Yeah, yeah. And could have also been Footloose. There's also Footloose.
Yeah, yeah. He's not much of a dancer, but well, that doesn't make any sense with what I just said, but let's keep going.
Yeah. All right. So let's begin. Nolan jumped out a window, just full on jumped out a window, jumped through the glass, smashed it, and fell from the window of what was supposed to be his old home, crafted by the lovely Mariana of Balador. Though how lovely she really is up for debate.
Less on the inside now.
Less on the inside. You feel the wind rushing past you as you hurtle towards the ground, but you don't hit. In fact, the ground begins to stretch away into nothingness as you continue falling towards it. And that nothingness, that oblivion, seems to reach up, wanting to snap you up into its jaws. You close your eyes, but the ground never hits. The all-consuming emptiness never seems to come. The rushing wind stops, and you open your eyes. Please, tell me what room 101 looks like to Nolan.
It's a white room, perfectly sterile. The seams of it are barely visible because of the overhead fluorescence, or casting so much light into every corner that it's almost a round room in your peripheral. There's nothing there except a chair. It's large and rectangular, able to fit a full-sized adult. It has straps at the legs and arms. There is an institutional chair inside. And the only other thing is a rolling stainless steel medical table that has nothing on it presently, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't. There also may, depending on the day, be a two-way mirror.
There is today. There's a reflective surface that you can see yourself in, but can't see anything behind it. You know what's usually back there anyway. Who's usually back there? The straps are not done around Nolan's arms or legs, but he is sitting in the chair, and the room is quiet. Almost too quiet. It's that decibel level that makes it hard to stay sane when you're there for long periods of time.
He'll start kicking his feet against the vinyl padding just to have some noise in the room.
It helps a bit. The sound kind of gets swallowed up by the room around you. You can't see any sort of door. You know there's one, but where exactly in here is always up for debate. As you said, can't really see the seams.
Hello? Hello? Was the mission a simulation? I'm okay to go. I'm feeling better now.
You're greeted with nothing but more silence.
How long was I out? If there's no response after that, he'll wait about a minute and we'll just slowly try to get off the chair.
Okay. You can stand. Nothing seems to be keeping you there.
He'll walk over to the observation mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And take a look at himself, first of all. What does he look like right now?
You see the Nolan you're familiar with. The one that you don't really look at much in the mirror anymore because it's hard to look. The one who's aging, overweight, and just not the agent he used to be.
He'll tuck a lock of hair behind his ear from his rather unkempt mane and will knock daintily on the mirror. Dong, dong, dong. Hello?
There's no response.
Great. Okay. Yeah, maybe they forgot about me. Okay. I can always come back in afterward. And he'll do a quick pace around the room with a hand on the wall looking for the door.
Okay, sure. You start at the mirror and walk around. Are you going
quickly, or are you just trying to like slowly so that you can make sure you find the seam?
At a steady walk.
Steady walk?
So not like a run, but just kind of like a casual stroll around the room.
Okay.
Kind of just dragging his hand behind him.
Yeah. Behind the chair and on the other side of the room from the mirror, you see, or you feel, the seam barely there.
Gotcha.
You can't even see it with your eyes, but your fingers can find it.
Okay, and is there a doorknob?
So you follow the seam kind of up and around just to make sure you have where the edges of the door are. You reach a point on the left-hand side of this rectangle that you've felt out in the wall, and it has a little bit more give to it. If you press it, a little slot opens with a keypad.
Okay. He'll punch in an agency number.
Okay.
Or a serial number or a code number or something.
Little red light flashes.
Okay, 8675309.
Red light flashes.
Okay, 1234.
The light flashes a couple of times.
He'll bang on the door a few times with a closed fist. Hey! There's a guy in here!
On the third or fourth time you hit the door, you hear a sound from outside of it.
Hello?
And then a click as the light on the little keypad goes green, and the door slides open.
Oh, about time.
And you are standing face to face with Michaela.
Hey.
Please sit down.
Okay, sure. He'll hop up on the chair.
She'll enter the room and close the door behind her.
Huh.
Do you know why you're here, Agent?
Because I hit the bottom of that fall, and I'm hallucinating in a concussion, probably. I'm dreaming, right? Or I'm on life support or hallucinating.
Now is not the time for jokes, Agent.
Roger that. Can you please enlighten me?
She pulls a file out of the briefcase she was holding, and she flips it open. And she starts to read a list of things that you did during your prime NWO days. The mission successes you had, the wins that you were lauded for. And then she turns the page and begins to list everything that happened after 2012 and all of the failures that were there, all of the mistakes that you made. And then she puts the file down on the medical table, closes it.
That was kind of rude.
What happened, Agent? You used to be good at your job.
You're kind of a rude ghost. Or a rude daydream if you're... The big problem started feeling really small. And the small problem started feeling really big. I think I lost my tether when my wife went missing.
I see. Do you think it's a good idea for the Union to continue harboring someone who is untethered?
Maybe not. But I think if you look in that file, you'll see that I've done a lot of good as a therapist. helped get a lot of agents back into the field and help them process trauma. I mean, so one could say that I'm worth several agents then. Because they couldn't go back in without my help.
How then are you able to help them, as you say, process their trauma, but are unable to process your own?
Well, I'm not my own therapist, and I don't want to process anything. Processing means that it's done, that it's over, and what's going on with my wife isn't over. She is out there somewhere. And if I process and I move on, when she comes home, she's not going to have anybody. And she was always there for me when I wasn't there for her. She deserves it. She deserves me to be a good husband for once.
Well, luckily for you, Dr. Westcroft, the union believes that you can continue being a good agent, and we're here to help you process.
I'm sorry, can you call me Nolan?
Very well. Here is your choice, Nolan. You can choose, and she's going to pull out a loaded pistol. You can choose to take your own life for the good of the union, or we can continue with your processing.
What does that mean?
She just gives you just a blank, dead-eyed stare and does not answer.
Are you real?
I'm real enough.
So if I go back to being processed, what does that mean? I'm going back into field duty?
If you're found suitable. Processing can take a toll on a person.
Mm-hmm. I remember. If I go and process, will I remember? Or are you just going to make me forget it all?
Would you want to remember?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Then you'll remember.
Then why do I need to be processed?
It's procedure. Either admit that you are the failure that this file portrays, and she's going to just kind of slide the gun along the medical table, or become something better.
But you're saying that something better is who I was. I hurt a lot of people, Mick. I don't want to hurt people. My wife wouldn't want me to do that. But I guess the truth is that I didn't want to do it either. So, if those are the options, I'll take the gun.
Very well. She's going to turn and leave. She leaves the door open, though, when she goes.
Well, that makes this easier. He's going to just sneak out.
Cool.
Just so you know, for internal, the plan was to take the gun and shoot through the mirror.
Perfect.
Just for the internal logic, and to maybe try to kiss her on the way out, just to double check.
Just to double check, yeah. Cool.
Just to double check. So he'll peer out into the hallway. I thought I was going to need a gun for this.
You look out, and you see just white halls, very... very sterile environment. just like the room you were in.
Was the Minotaur maze left or right? It's right wall, right? I'm right-handed. Let's go left.
As you step through the door, you step not into the hallway that you just saw, as you thought you would. Instead, you step through a door into what looks like a movie theater? It's completely empty.
Creepy.
The lights are on, but nothing's playing.
Okay. Let's try to sneak on squicky, crunchy theater carpet.
You head down. Are you heading for like a seat or another area or?
I think he's headed down toward the front, toward the emergency exits.
Okay.
That are kind of near the stage on all, or near the screen on every theater. Because obviously he can't just go back out the door he came through.
Because that leads back to where you were.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to start heading toward the front of the theater with the intention of going through one of those doors. Dun, 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 dun.
As you sneak about halfway down this carpet with, yeah, it's a little sticky, a little crunchy. Not the worst theater carpet you've walked on, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the lights dim as you get about halfway down. And you can hear the sound of an old projector starting up. Yeah,
one of those. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, one of those. And on screen, silently, and in black and white, a bunch of scenes start playing. And what do you think are the scenes from Nolan's life that are being played out here in front of him? What is he focused on the most at this moment?
And this moment, bumping into a scientist at a union convention meeting. They're at a build-your-own bagel bar at this little convention thing. And this beautiful woman leans over and says, "Are you going to have some bagel with the cream cheese, man? Pass it. Stop hogging it." And he looks over at her, and what's wrong with a little bit of cream cheese? Nothing, if you want to be 300 pounds. I thought you agents were supposed to stay fit. I work out. I thought you scientists were supposed to be ugly. Bumping into each other at coffee later. Constantly bumping into each other throughout the 3-day symposium. To the point where he says that he's tired of being stalked. Trips down to Galveston, where she's stationed. Bringing her back home to his dad's place. Back on the East Coast, back in Providence. And then probably focusing on those pages. And then just flashes of gunshots and blood and fire and all of the parts of an action movie that would be real cool if you weren't living them. And one time meeting up after a mission and going to hold her hand and realizing that he had blood caked under his fingernails that he hadn't scrubbed off. And then the night that she vanished during her spirit tests, her dimensional science tests, she had found some type of concordance, some type of pan-dimensional field harmonic. And something went weird with the anomaly. And the next thing he knew, she was gone. Sucked through it. Taken. somewhere. That's what he remembers. But secretly, he's always been worried that maybe he killed her, and that they just gave him a cheesy story to cover it up, because it's easier for your psyche to take that than it is for a memory cap to cover something truly heinous with something simple. There's to erase something like that.
Mm-hmm. Does Nolan keep heading for the emergency exit, or does he stop to watch?
He'll slow down a little.
Mm-hmm.
He'll watch them cut a cake. But he sees this whenever he sleeps. He'll see it again soon enough. He'll give it a smile. And then he'll book it. Punching into the exit door as hard as he can. Just slamming it open.
You hit the exit door and slam it open and rush through and find yourself back at the top of the movie theater.
Ah, balls.
Same scenes playing on the screen.
Oh man, she did lobotomize me. Okay. Legend of Zelda. He'll turn around and try to go back through the door he just came through.
You go back through the door, you come back out through the emergency exit that you had originally run through.
Okay.
And notice that this time, the movie theater isn't empty. There are two shadowy figures that you can kind of see in the light that's emanating from the screen, about halfway up. They're sitting a chair apart, not together, but both enjoying the movie from, or the scenes, the movies, from a relatively good seat in the house.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the movie. Is that exit actually work?
From the seats, you hear a voice that you will recognize as Mariana of Balador.
Ah, balls.
I think you're supposed to sit, Sonny. Come, enjoy the movie. It's a good show. She deserves a lot better than you, though.
Oh, come on. That's just rude.
You ran away from me and crashed through a window. I get to be rude.
You tried to change me into some evil Hollow Man.
I asked. There's a difference.
Well, then I didn't consent.
Yeah. But you didn't say no. You just ran.
I suppose that was not verbal disconsent, but, or unconsenting, but lack of consent. I guess it wasn't like, okay, fine, a nonverbal no is not a no, but no, ma'am, no, thank you, I appreciate it, but I need to get out of here, I lived this, it's a good scene, I don't want to spoil it for you, but he gets the girl. For a while.
I'm not the one who brought you here. You may as well come sit and figure out whatever lesson you're supposed to be learning.
God, I hate school. Go in, sit in the aisle, and or go sit in the seats.
As you get closer to them, you can see that she's sitting there, just kind of, the seats recline a little, so she's just eating popcorn. Got, you know, a sultry smile on her face, and she's just kind of like, yeah, I'm here. This is this is just where I am. And the seat just one over from her, or I guess two over from her, is a full suit of armor. The classic suit of armor with a full faceplate, so you can't see who's underneath.
Huh. Looks like you're having a good night.
If only, Mr. Knight over here won't even talk to me, so.
Did you offer him some popcorn? And he'll sit between them.
She'll hand the popcorn over to you and be like, be my guest, there's plenty to share.
He'll eat some, because, do you want some popcorn, sir? Sir?
The suit of armor head turns towards you and shakes, but does not say anything. The popcorn's great.
This is really good. That's a right amount of salt. Good job. So what am I supposed to learn?
Mariana will just kind of sigh and be like, I don't know. Uh-huh. Usually when it's me, I just have sex or something, but apparently you get to watch a movie about your past failings. I don't know.
You have sex in the movie theater?
Oh, all the time. But I don't usually watch movies.
The screen is going to flash with some memories of sex.
Ooh, things got interesting. Marianne will say she kind of settles in. And as it flashes with those scenes, it loops back around to kind of the original things that you were thinking of and that were showing up there, the memories of your life with Michaela. And Mariana will kind of lean over and be like, I know you said no, but, you know, I could give her back to you if you want. I can give you back your old life, if it's what you want, of course.
Like with time magic?
That's one option. I've learned a lot since I've been away from Earth.
Oh, but you're evil now. This is going to be one of those things where you're like, I can make it so she never vanished. And I'll be like, what'll it cost? And you'll be like, your soul. And I'll be like, ugh. I don't believe in a soul. And you'll be like, oh, but I mean the existential concept of your soul that really doesn't really have any tether on metaphysical concepts, but still takes a steep price out of you, etc., etc. Ugh.
I see you've seen this one before.
Oh, I've watched The Devil and Max Devlin before, yeah. And oh god, you devil. Oh, do you remember George Burns? He was great. Why are you interested in me? Is it just because you're lonely?
Not just. But you have some qualities I find intriguing.
You're not talking about the sex stuff, are you? Because, like...
No.
I'm okay, but...
No, it's the masochistic wallowing in guilt that I like. Makes you fun.
Oh, it gets really boring after a while. So you could make it so that she never vanished. What would it cost me?
Your soul, of course. But, you know, you were meant for so much more than you are now.
Why do people keep saying that? Like, I'm fine.
A pleasant kind of male voice will pipe up from behind you. You can hear, you can tell by the slight echo that they're talking from inside the suit of armor. She is correct. You were meant for more than this. More than that. And the armor will motion at the screen as it plays through your life with Mick again. Not in the way she means. You had a destiny.
To what?
The projector sound it'll sound like it's hitting the end of the reel, but the scene on the screen that begins to play are scenes that Nolan doesn't recognize. There's a scene of you meeting with General Augustine Aleph and shaking hands. If you remember correctly, he's the leader of Panopticon.
Yeah, he's an absolute monster.
There's some scenes of missions that you don't remember going on. That's not terribly surprising to you. You know that they erased a lot. There's the faces of people that you don't remember killing, but you know in your heart that they are dead because of you. And the scenes start to rewind. And over the speakers, they kind of crackle to life in that sort of old-timey phonograph music starts to pipe through. And you can hear the voice from that recording that Tegan heard and played. But it's just the part that says, "Find the lost boy." And it repeats over and over as the scenes seem to run in reverse and speed up. And it stops.
Who's the...
on Nolan's face before moving forward again and showing a different young Nolan in the traditions, you think? You're not even sure which one, but definitely not a member of the technocracy. You seem to be fighting the technocracy.
What?
And it, you watch as a stranger's life, because you recognize yourself on screen, but you don't know this life. You've never seen any of this happen. And at one point, the scenes show a young Nolan walking past and not acknowledging or meeting or even knowing Michaela.
This is a weird version of the story. What is this?
Once upon a time, the suit of armor will say, you were supposed to have a choice. And the scene in front of you will go black, and then an image will come up of a young Turkish-looking gentleman. Maybe placed, it's definitely old. It's maybe a time period of like 1700s-ish.
Hmm.
And the suit of armor continues with, your avatar once belonged to another. Your genius once belonged to another. One of the Ixoi, who left the Order of Reason to start House Janissary in the Order of Hermes. One who was destined to bring about the final ascension, to find Telos and dictate the rebuilding of the world. It is unfortunate that the Union found you first and has been limiting you and your abilities ever since. You were supposed to be different. Maybe not better, but different.
Was any of this stuff from my movie real?
Oh, it was very real. You have lived your life as your timeline diverged from another. And I do not have the ability to reverse that. Time has played out as it has played out. But you can still be a version of the person you were meant to be. The movie theater kind of dissolves around you, and you're standing in a white space. It doesn't have the same foreboding feeling as Room 101 does, but it is still a blank space rather than a sterile space. And there are two freestanding doors in front of you. And the suit of armor is standing there. Marianne is standing just eating popcorn beside him. And you can see a slight glow behind the faceplate of the suit of armor as it looks at you and says, here beyond their reach, you have a choice before you. Choose a door.
What's the difference?
That is not for me to answer.
Okay, what do the doors look like?
The doors are identical and unmarked, as far as you can tell.
Okay, and neither of them is standing really beside one of them in particular, or?
No, both the suit of armor and Marianna are kind of standing off to one side, almost, they're closer to you than they are the doors.
Are there only two doors? There's not like a secret third door? There's not like a hatch or something?
There are only two doors. As much as her presence here is... For a moment, the suit of armor just seems completely, like, perplexed. And you can't even tell because there's no real face, but he's perplexed.
Who? So who are you exactly? I know who she is.
My name is Gabriel. Lord of Mercy, Vengeance, Revelation.
Okay. Like the
You can call me Gabe.
Okay, Gabe. Why are there two identical doors? How is that a choice? It's really just if you're saying if I like the number one or the number two better.
Do you like the number one or number two better?
I like number two. There's twice as much. And you can't get to three without two. But what if number one is the best one, and that's why it's number one? This is the complicated thing. But honestly, what if we're counting down? That'd still be one. I mean, I'm probably going to pick number two. It's on the right. I'm right-handed. And that is a door that is twice as good as the one on the left. Plus, it's the right door. And if it's the right door, it's the right door. But I did go left earlier. Then I ended up in a movie theater, and that really wasn't very useful. Is this just a metaphor about making a choice? Because I'm going to pick number two. Unless I pick number one. I'm going to pick number two. Number two.
Go through whichever door you choose.
Sure. Can I look in the rooms first, or the doors first? Or do I just have to...
You can do whatever you wish.
Cool. I'm going to go peek in door number two.
You look through and it's just the other side of the door in this space.
Oh, they're just like freestanding door frames?
Yep.
What if I come through the other side? If I walk around and come through, do I go back in the theater again? Do I get to watch the sexy bits again? Without Mariana trying to grab me through the popcorn bucket this time? Oh, I noticed.
Mariana will just laugh.
I wish you weren't evil, because, like, you're real pretty, and, like, I think we could have had, like, a nice, like, coffee date or something.
You still could.
You're evil. Come on. It's one of the turnoffs in my old OkCupid profile.
That is a shame.
I, like...
We would have done lovely things together.
I probably would have disappointed you for minutes at a time. Maybe less. It's been like a decade. I'm gonna pick door number two, because it's right here. It's been swell. Get the fuck out of my head, Mariana.
Oh, but I like it here.
Yeah, I've never had a complaint about my head before. He'll go through door number two.
Cool. How does he go through door number two?
Exasperatedly. Just...
Just go through, just not like...
Swing
open, step through. Because,
yep.
Cool. You're falling.
Oh, shit!
Again, there are glass shards and wind rushing past you. And you look, you can look up and see the window you just burst through.
Oh, fuck, should I have picked number one?
And you land. It's on something a little squishy. And
oh god,
not very pleasant.
Oh god, what is this? What is this?
And you kind of, you look up and you can see Mariana looking out the window. She just kind of waves at you. Sorry, you weren't really verbalizing your no.
No!
And as you kind of look back, you realize that oblivion, just the foreboding sense of nothingness or of everything, is kind of pulsing around you.
Oh, wait. I read about this in a textbook. Outside the window? Really?
And in the back of your head, in the back of your mind, you hear that calm, pleasant voice that you heard coming from the suit of armor. We can defeat her together, my brother. Stand tall. Stand strong. You are not alone here.
Okay.
You are not alone.
Let's cause some trouble.
And we're going to call it there. And that's where game's going to start for you.
Yay! God damn it, am I in a call?
Yeah.
God damn it.
You're at the edge of a call.
No, I don't want to go into the oozing womb of darkness. I don't want to go into the womb with a view.
Right. This is me being like...
Just like it.
The Nafandi would be like, yeah, you know, you gotta choose to go in, but I can shove you to the edge if I want. And then,
I mean, you can trick somebody inside.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I absolutely do not expect Nolan to go Nafandi.
I don't see it either. Sorry, I'm grabbing my notebook because it has all the XP in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, god damn it.
But I am happy to say that you did, in fact, pass.
Yay! What lesson did I learn? Besides, get over yourself.
It was get over yourself, pretty much.
Hey! Good. He still doesn't want to, like, hurt or kill anybody.
And that's
he
fine.
Might make an exception for Nafandi.
Yeah. In case you're wondering, that first part was Nolan breaking through conditioning to be able to take his seeking.
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
So, what was the win condition there?
The Union has been suppressing Nolan and his abilities for decades.
You underestimate my power!
Right.
Or maybe you don't.
The win condition there was to either... There were a couple of options, but it was basically like, as long as you didn't kill yourself, like actually, and when you were like, he chose the gun, his plan was to shoot through the mirror, like that was... That was a win condition, was just basically don't give in to the Union's demand of like keeping yourself here. Even if you had gone for quote unquote processing, it wasn't going to be the union's processing. It was going to be you processing your fucking trauma in the movie theater.
Fair. Yeah, fair. Ooh, he's a Janissary / Cassifry, is he? Oh, boy.
Yep.
God damn it. God damn it, Jen. Had to be those guys.
Okay, before I forget, you are going to get Enlightenment 4.
Yay!
And if you think that there are any flaws that Nolan has worked through, we can talk about you just getting rid of those. Otherwise, I have another option for you if there's no flaws that you think.
I don't think there are any flaws. I think they're fine. He's still soft-hearted. He's still curious.
Yep. That's kind of what I thought. They aren't ones like say, Tegan's PTSD, right? Like,
yeah, his are personality defects.
Yeah, that's fine. So in lieu of that, you can take up to 3 dots in abilities that you would have from either your NWO days or before that.
Ooh.
That maybe Nolan didn't, that you don't have on Nolan's sheet. Basically, like your past lives are like, here, have some information.
Let's take a second dot of firearms.
Cool.
Let's take a point of athletics, because that would have happened.
Nice.
And let's take a 4th dot of subterfuge.
Nice. Cool. And then...
Level up. Can I trade my resources for destiny?
Yeah, sure.
All right, done.
Woo-hoo. Let's see. Do you think entropic or dynamic resonance would be better for...
Dynamic.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
Dynamic. He's running up that hill.
Nice. So yeah, some of the options I chose as possible ones, but I mean, we can talk about it because you're really good at picking adjectives for these.
Never for myself, but...
Mutative, radical, revolutionary, significant.
Ooh, radical and revolutionary are both real good.
Right.
I want to be a revolutionary girl.
Cool. Yeah, do it.
Is that dynamic or entropic?
I figured it could be either. I had it under dynamic for this particular.
Okay. And then what were my other ones? I had them, I think they were in my survey.
You have capricious, dynamic, capricious, static, fluid, and entropic. You were going either meddlesome or intrusive, which I don't know if you had decided, but I like either.
I think meddlesome.
Cool. He has been a little more meddlesome than he has been straight up intrusive.
It was static what?
Fluid.
And the last dynamic was...
Capricious.
Capricious. I'm going to spell it wrong, but it's there. Capri Sun. Got ya.
It's there. And your inner knight is the Archangel Gabriel.
Yay! I like him. He's a nice guy.
Right. He's great.
Cool. Well, thank you, Jen.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was fun. I never get to seek, so that... I was like, I think I'm doing this right, but I'm not. I'm trying. It's that weird place where you're like trying not to do well for doing well's sake.
Yeah.
You're like, must keep in character, long pauses while I think of character reaction.
Right, right. Yeah, I wasn't sure if Nolan was going to pass when I was writing this. And then I really wasn't sure in some of those moments where I was like, but. But you did.
Like in play?
Yeah, just...
Fair.
Partly, the thing is that part of the challenge was getting through the initial conditioning, which your genius is just kind of like, yeah, cool, you did it. And then the last choice is also just like, is that... I'm not even sure because Nolan's genius is primordial. So there's a part of me that's not even sure which part of that seeking was the actual choice. Like, I don't know.
Fair.
But you did both great. So, I mean, Nolan waffled a little on the last one, which I expected him to. But the point was that you went through a door and went through it with some, like, chutzpah, essentially.
Fair. Yeah. It's just like, for fuck's sake, let's just get out of here.
Right? Yeah. Like,
let's get out of here, gang.
Something like that. As long as you didn't waffle for... like ever and just not decide. That was the main thing.
Mariana being just a total punk helps.
Yeah, right. I was like, you know what's fun? Mariana with mind 7.
Yeah.
Just being just like I'm going to ride along on the seeking. Cool.
No.
Maybe I can tempt him in there. Probably not because he already said no, but you know, we'll see.
God, what a jerk. What a jerk.
You've been listening to Paradox, a Mage the Ascension podcast, and you can find us wherever you can find podcasts. If actual plays are up your alley, check out Dork Tales on twitch.tv/dorktales or youtube.com/dorktales. Find us on the Dork Tales Discord server or check out our website at dorktales.ca. We are currently streaming a Mage the Victorian Era game on Saturdays. Our Patreon subscribers have early access to the Technocracy Zero Sum game, which is also starting to roll out on YouTube for the general public. And we have several Mage one-shots and a short-run chronicle called Breaking Tradition on YouTube. Additionally, we are starting to roll out our Mage the Victorian Era game in podcast form over on the Dork Tales Podbean channel, also found wherever you can find podcasts. Finally, as always, there's also all of our other amazing content. Thanks for listening, and remember to always keep your magic coincidental, unless it's Fireball.